Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Words Can Change Your Brain 12 Conversation Strategies to Build Trust, Resolve Conflict, and Increase Intimacy, is a nonfiction book by neuroscientist Andrew Newberg, MD, and communications expert Mark Robert Waldman. It blends neuroscience, psychology, and practical communication advice to argue that language does more than convey information. It shapes attention, stress, emotion, and social connection. The book's central framework, called compassionate communication, presents conversation as a trainable skill rather than a natural talent. Instead of treating communication as a matter of personality or charisma, the authors focus on observable behaviors that can calm conflict, increase trust, and improve intimacy. The structure is organized around 12 strategies that move from inner state, outward speech, and listening. This makes the book useful for readers who want a research-informed approach to everyday interaction in personal, professional, and caregiving settings. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, compassionate communication as a neuroscience-based model for conversation. The book's main contribution is its proposal that communication changes the brain in measurable ways. Newberg and Waldman frame conversation as an interaction between emotional and cognitive systems, arguing that words can either intensify stress or support calm reasoning. This is why the book does not treat communication as a purely social skill. It presents it as a neurological process with consequences for attention, empathy, and decision-making. The model of compassionate communication is designed to help people speak in ways that reduce defensiveness and increase cooperation. That matters because the authors are not simply recommending politeness. They are claiming that deliberate language choices can alter how two people experience a discussion in real time. This gives the book a distinctive position in the communication genre. It connects practical advice to brain science, making the case that small changes in wording, tone, and pacing can shift the whole emotional climate of an interaction. Secondly, why inner state comes before better speech? A major emphasis of the book is that effective communication begins before a person says anything. Several of the 12 strategies focus on being relaxed, present, and mentally quiet, which shows that the authors see conversation as dependent on self-regulation. If a speaker is stressed, distracted, or internally noisy, the conversation is more likely to become reactive and fragmented. The book therefore recommends preparing the mind through calm attention and inner silence so that speech becomes more intentional. This approach is practical because it explains why many difficult conversations fail not because the right words are unavailable, but because the speaker's nervous system is already activated. By starting with internal state, the book links communication to emotional discipline. It also makes the strategies more portable across contexts, since relaxation and presence can be applied in family disputes, leadership settings, counseling, and everyday disagreements. The underlying logic is that people hear language through the filter of their mood and attention. So a calmer mind can create a better social outcome before a sentence is even formed. Thirdly, positive language, appreciation, and the emotional tone of trust. Another key theme is the power of positive language to shape trust and reduce threat responses. The book argues that words associated with affirmation, appreciation, hope, and warmth can support more flexible thinking, while hostile or negative language tends to trigger stress and narrow attention. This does not mean the authors advocate ignoring conflict or speaking unrealistically. Rather, they suggest that emotionally constructive language creates better conditions for conflict resolution by lowering resistance. Appreciation is especially important because it does more than smooth over tension. It signals recognition and respect, which are central ingredients of intimacy and cooperation. The book also pays attention to warmth and tone, showing that language is not only about vocabulary, but about how the speaker feels to the listener. In that sense, positivity is treated as a communicative tool, not a vague attitude. The book's argument is strongest when it shows that trust is built incrementally through repeated experiences of being heard, respected, and not threatened. Positive wording helps create that environment. Fourthly, timing, brevity, and the brain's limited capacity for information. The authors repeatedly tie communication quality to cognitive limits, especially the brain's limited ability to hold and process information at once. This is the basis for strategies such as speaking slowly, pausing, and keeping remarks brief. These recommendations are not stylistic preferences. They are meant to match speech to human attention. In the author's view, long, dense explanations can overwhelm listeners, while short, paced statements allow better processing and response. This is especially relevant in tense conversations, where stress further reduces mental bandwidth. The book, therefore, treats clarity as a function of timing and structure, not just vocabulary. Speaking briefly also forces the speaker to be more deliberate, which can reduce rambling, escalation, and self-justification. This makes the book especially useful in situations where people tend to talk past each other. The larger insight is that good communication respects cognitive limits. By adapting the length and rhythm of speech to the listener's attention span, a speaker can make understanding more likely and conflict less likely to intensify. Lastly, deep listening and nonverbal awareness as tools for resolving conflict. The final dimension of the book is its emphasis on listening, both to words and to nonverbal cues.
Deep listening is presented as more than passive silence. It requires attention to what another person is feeling, intending, and not saying directly.
The inclusion of observing facial expression, posture, and tone shows that the authors understand communication as embodied rather than purely verbal. This is important in conflict, where hidden frustration or uncertainty often appears first in body language before it becomes explicit in speech. By teaching readers to notice these signals, the book encourages more accurate responses and fewer misunderstandings. Deep listening also helps shift the goal of conversation, from winning an argument to understanding the other person's perspective. That is why the book is relevant to intimacy as well as conflict resolution. It values responsiveness over performance. In practice, this means giving the other person room to speak, resisting interruption, and treating the conversation as a shared process. The result is a communication style that is less reactive and more relational. In conclusion, Words Can Change Your Brain is best suited for readers who want a practical, science-informed guide to communication rather than a purely inspirational or theoretical book. It will be especially useful for managers, therapists, couples, caregivers, teachers, and anyone who regularly handles tense conversations or wants to communicate with more care. The book's main benefit is that it translates neuroscience into behavior. Instead of talking only about empathy in abstract terms, it offers concrete habits involving relaxation, presence, language choice, pacing, and listening. That makes it more actionable than many books on relationships and more grounded than communication advice that relies only on intuition. What sets it apart in its category is the way it links speech to brain function while still staying focused on everyday conversation. Readers come away with a framework that can be practiced immediately and adapted to different settings, even if some of the rules are more suitable for intimate settings than for complex business negotiations. Its value lies in connecting inner regulation, verbal discipline, and relational trust into one coherent model. If you would like to support Andrew Newberg, MD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.